We are going to go to Book of Luke, chapter 10, and we are going to read from verse 25 to 37.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
These lawyers are scribes, knowing the Bible very well. So now this one lawyer coming and asking Jesus Christ, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? But at the same time, he says, he was testing Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ is going to tell him. He thinks he's a lawyer, he knows the Bible, and they thought Jesus Christ never went to school or he doesn't have any education, and does he know the Bible? So he's asking a Bible question. But he's not the only one. There are so many people ask Jesus Christ so many questions. But he's asking about the eternal life. There are some other people were asking similar questions. We will go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, and verse 36.
Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
Now, this person is asking Jesus Christ. He's saying, Teacher, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the book or in the law? But the Mark tells differently. Mark chapter 12.
That's verse 28.
Okay, please read that.
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?
Okay. Now, the Mark says, which is the first commandment, and the same lawyer asking, which is the great commandment. Now, somebody will say, why Mark says, which is the first commandment, and why Matthew says, which is the great commandment. And people can take a simple things and make a story. But I believe that lawyer might have asked a question like this. Master, which is the first and great commandment? And then Jesus Christ would answer. But when it's written different ways, Mark says, which is the first commandment? And Matthew says, which is the great commandment? People might say, something is wrong in the writing. But the man might have said, which is the first and great commandment? Mark chapter 12, starting from verse 28 to 31.
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Now he says, this is the first and great commandment. Now read the word, Matthew chapter 22, verse 40.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Now he says two commandments. When they ask him which is the first and great commandment, he did not say one commandment. He said two commandments together. And then he says, this is the greatest commandment. And these are two commandments together. Read the Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
These two commandments Jesus Christ gave, and he says, all the law and prophets stands on this commandment. So, indirectly he was saying, you can Do these commandments and you will be all right. There was another man came to Jesus Christ. That story is given in Matthew chapter 19. And he comes and asks Jesus Christ the similar question. He wants to have eternal life, or he wants to know about kingdom of God. So see what he says. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
What one good thing I should do that I can have eternal life? Now, they're thinking, if I do something good, I will go to heaven. So what good thing I should do? What Jesus Christ says? Jesus Christ says, keep the commandments. Read the verse 17.
And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
18. What the rich man is saying?
He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness.
He asked Jesus Christ, which commandment I do? Now the word of God says, if you can do all 9 commandments, and if you don't do one, you will still guilty of all. But this man is thinking, if I do one commandment, which is the best one, then I can have eternal life. Jesus Christ did not say this is the one commandment. But for those lawyers, those people ask different questions. Which is the great commandment? Which is the first commandment? He answered them that way. But this rich man is asking what good thing I should do. Jesus said, okay, do the law. He says, in the law, there are so many commandments. Which one I should be doing? So what Jesus Christ says, he tells him to go to book of Exodus, chapter 20, and please read from verse 12 to 17. That's what he was trying to tell him.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
When Jesus Christ gave the answer to this man, that you are asking me which commandment, I tell you these are the commandments. Now, Jesus Christ would have given him all the 10 commandments. But I was thinking, why God gave him, Jesus Christ gave him these commandments? Why? Because he's a rich man. He may not honoring his mother and father. He may be in adultery, fornication, all kinds of things he might be doing and getting rich. So he got lots of money, cheating people, not listening to mom and dad, and doing all kinds of business, and not caring for others, not thinking about neighbor and things like that. And he got so rich. So this man says to Jesus Christ, I did all these things from my childhood. What is lacking? What Jesus Christ said, when you read all this whole chapter, so Jesus Christ said to him, you want to be perfect? Then sell everything and follow me. Now somebody will say, if this man is a rich man and he sells everything, do you think he will go to heaven selling all these things? No. Important thing, Jesus Christ is saying, follow me. But you cannot follow the riches of this world and follow Christ. When Jesus Christ called his disciples, what he said? Forsake all and follow me. So the same way he was saying, you are interested in eternal life, you want to go to heaven. I'm the one can take you to heaven. I'm the one can teach you about heaven. So forsake all. Sell everything. He did not even say, give everything to poor and follow me. He said, sell everything. You are not doing good business. You do the right business. You sell everything. Give your tithes and offering honor your mother and father, and don't do adultery, fornication, and all these sinful activities, and love your neighbor, and all these things Jesus Christ told him. Now, when he heard all of these things, and when Jesus Christ says, sell everything and follow me, then you will be with me in heaven for eternity. He heard that, and he went away sorrowfully because he was very rich. But that's not our subject today. Our subject is these kind of people come to Jesus Christ and asking questions about eternal life. Actually, they are not interested in eternal life. They are looking for easy way or trying to trap Jesus Christ in his words, finding out how much knowledge he has about the Bible and what he is going to tell us about these laws. But Jesus Christ gave them the right answer, and they did not have any questions anymore. But here we see, now in this Luke chapter 10, this lawyer comes to Jesus Christ and asking him, what should I do to gain my eternal life or inherit the eternal life? Jesus Christ simply said to him, what do you think? Let's read. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 25.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Verse 26.
He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou?
Now Jesus asked him a question. You are a lawyer. You are asking me, if you want to have eternal life, what should I do? Don't you know the law and what the law says to you? So this man tried to tell Jesus Christ what the law is all about. Let's read the verse 27.
And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself.
Now he gave this answer, and Jesus Christ says, you said it very well. Read the verse 28.
And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
Now, Jesus Christ says, you asked me the question, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God or eternal life? And I asked you the question, and you gave me the answer. And he answered, according to the word of God we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. This man said it all together in one scripture. And Jesus Christ says, thou hast answered right. You do this, and you shall live. So I was thinking, when Jesus Christ said, you do this, what you said, and you will live. Now you will live a good life, or you will have eternal life, or you will go to heaven. Because doing all these commandments, that was not enough to have eternal life. If the people would have obeyed all these 10 commandments or all the laws of Moses, and if they could go to heaven without Jesus Christ, then there was no need Christ coming to this world and giving his life for mankind. Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. They were shedding the blood of bulls and goats, but their sins were covered each time they give the sacrifice. But their sins were never removed or never completely washed away. That's why Jesus Christ came. So now Jesus Christ is still in the Old Testament. He did not give his life yet, but he is trying to tell this man what you're supposed to do. So now this man should have said, okay, Master, you told me I'm going to do this. I know this commandment, and I'm going to do according to this commandment. But he's thinking he's too smart. So he's asking Jesus Christ another question. Let's read the verse 29.
But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?
Now he want to justify. He want to say, I'm a good man. I am a good lawyer. I am doing this commandment. I know this commandment. I'm doing all right. So now if he's doing everything according to the law, then he's a perfect man. That's what he was trying to say. So now he's saying, tell me, which is my neighbor? Now if Jesus Christ would have said, do you live in a neighborhood? Are you living in a jungle? Are you living alone? Do you have a neighbor right side or left side or in front of you or back of your house? Is there any neighbor living in your house? Then you would say, yes, I have a neighbor. But he was a little bit tricky, thinking what kind of neighbor I should be helping. So Jesus Christ gives him a good answer. But we are going to read this story from verse 30. But the point I'm making here, all these lawyers trying to be so smart, trying to trap Jesus Christ in his trap, but the Jesus Christ was not ordinary man. He was the Son of God. He has all the wisdom and all the power and all the authority. When you used to preach, people start saying, we never heard somebody preaching like Jesus Christ with the power and authority. And many people, when they ask some of the question, they never ask Jesus Christ again. Means same lawyer will never ask the question again when his mouth was shut. But now Jesus Christ is giving an example. Now he's going to give an example about the Samaritan man. Last week, if you remember, we heard about Samaritan woman. Now the Samaritan woman, we learned last time, she was not the holy woman. She was not a Jewish woman. She was very smart. And we heard about her. Now this Samaritan man, Jesus Christ, is giving his example. And I was thinking, how this man got this kind of good character? You remember last week we learned when this Samaritan lady went to town and told everyone that whatever sin I committed, Jesus Christ told me everything. Do you think he's the Messiah? Let's go and see. And you can imagine that lady went to the whole house to house, and everyone she brought to Jesus Christ. So when they came, it looks like a multitude of people. That's why Jesus Christ says, look at the harvest is ready. The one lady, a sinner, when she got saved or when she got the life of eternal or the water of eternal life, living water, she told everyone and brought the whole town to Jesus Christ. So I believe, this is just I'm guessing, I believe in that town, maybe one of these Samaritans, when Jesus Christ went to their town and gave 2 days message. Now, Jesus, when he's saying 2 days, he gives a message, 12 hours, 3 days and continuously. You remember he was saying, these people are with me for 3 days listening and don't let them go, bring the food, otherwise they will be fainting. That means they were listening to Jesus Christ day and night. So Jesus Christ was not tired and not weary. Last week we learned he was hungry, he was thirsty, but he went to that town and stayed there for 2 days. You just guess. Just believe that this Samaritan was listening to Jesus Christ. This Samaritan gave his life to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ taught them how to be nice and how to be gracious and how to be compassionate and how to love one another. And he might be given them the great commandment and the first commandment. And he might have told them 2 days. A lot of things you can learn. Some places they go to college for 2 years and they don't learn anything. But if you are with Jesus for 2 days, you will have all kinds of knowledge that 10 or 12 years knowledge or 2 years knowledge they get into college, you can get it from 2 days. You remember Jesus Christ went to Martha's house and Martha's preparing food and Mary was listening and she comes and says, Jesus, I'm working hard, but Mary is not coming and helping me. Could you tell her to come and help me? What Jesus Christ says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things, but the Mary has taken the best part and nobody can take it away from her. Jesus Christ was in Martha's house maybe a couple of hours for the dinner or lunch, but the Mary learned a lot from Jesus Christ within a couple of hours. So within 2 days, 48 hours, how much they can learn. So I'm just guessing what you have proof. I have proof this man's life. This Samaritan man's life is better than anybody else, all the Jewish people at that particular time. That's why Jesus Christ pointed out this Samaritan man. This Samaritan man is sound like a born again, sound like a child of God, sound like he has no prejudice. He loves everyone. Who taught him this? I don't think Moses taught him. I don't think law taught him. I think Jesus taught him, because Jesus Christ went to Samaria and stayed 2 days. So let's see what Jesus Christ gives the story about Samaritan man to this lawyer. Luke chapter 10, verse 30.
And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.
He says certain man, just like a certain lawyer. They did not give their lawyer's name. He said the certain man, when he's giving story. Now he says certain man was traveling. Now the certain man's name is not given. Maybe he's a businessman. Maybe he's a Jewish man. Maybe he's a rich man. Maybe he's going for the business. And on the way, he was traveling from Jerusalem and he was going through the Jericho, and the thieves came and beat him up and tore his clothes apart, beat him up, and this man was almost half dead. And the robbers robbed him, took his clothes, beat him up, and wounded him. So now he cannot go, he cannot run, he cannot talk. He's already half dead. And they drop him like a half-dead man, and they ran away. This man might be crying and weeping, help me, or whatever. And if he's half-dead, he may not be able to talk. This is the situation Jesus Christ is creating and saying, this is the story of one man. Had a lot of money, had everything, maybe a good businessman, but he was robbed, and everything was gone within a short period of time. This is what happened. This man never thought that this would happen. But in life, anything can happen. People think they are so rich and nothing can happen to them. I'm so much a man and nobody can beat me up. And I'm so smart and all of these things. But the trouble can come to anyone. I don't think this man was a born again or religious or anything. He was maybe a rich man or a money he had. So people followed him and they robbed him. They beat him up and they wounded him and they took his clothes and everything. And now this man may be half naked or like a helpless man. Now read verse 31.
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Now he says, by chance, and by chance he saw this man bleeding. This man is wounded, and he needed a help. This person is a priest. While going on that road, now the priest garment, you know, they have turban and they have white robes and very deep, dignifying way they go. Now this man is going alone, and he saw this person lying down. But he thought He might be just like a road. We have 2 footpath, one left side and one right side or something like that. So he crossed away. He saw in my line, there is a man lying down. I don't want to touch him. He's bleeding. According to the Jewish law, if he touch somebody with a man with a bleeding, then he has to go and take a bath or something like that. And so if he is dead, and if he touch the dead man, then again he will be guilty according to law touching that dead man. So he was thinking, I'm doing the right thing. I don't want to touch this man. I don't want to break the law. I don't want to make my clothes or my body dirty or filthy with blood. And he justified. He said, hey, I'm doing right thing. This is not my job to touch this man and help this man. And he can justify himself. But just think, if this man was a godly man and he knows the law, if I touch this man, I'll be guilty. If I help this man and he's dead, then I'll be again guilty. So what he could do, if that man is really, really smart man, he can call somebody from his synagogue, or he can call some people, or he can call some help and say, I'm a priest. According to law, I cannot do these things. Could you help this man? He could have done many things, but he just crossed away and walked away, thinking that nothing happened. And nobody saw him. Nobody noticed. But Jesus saw him. How did he come to know? How Jesus come to know this thing? Maybe the Samaritan man told the story. And so here is the priest walking away and not helping the man. Verse 32.
And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side.
Now this man did the same thing. They were walking in one side. The man is lying down. Maybe he saw a priest ahead of him, and he saw the priest did the same thing. So he said, I'm going to do the same thing. Maybe he saw from far. He thought, oh, that is a priest. Now the priest comes from the Levite family. Moses, Aaron, they are all coming from Levite family. Moses, Aaron, they come from Levite family. The Levites have so many jobs. Some Levites can be priests. Some Levites can be taking care of the tabernacle things. So there are so many Levites and so many priests. Now just think, this man saw the priest didn't touch him, and now this Levite is coming, and he's walking other way. He could talk to that man, the priest, and say, sir, you are a priest, you cannot touch, but can we help this man? Can we go back and take this man? Now we are 2 people, and according to the law, if we get contaminated, or if we have to take a bath, or take a shower, or give an offering, we can do. But we have to save this man's life. But both of them did not do it. Why? Because they thought it is not their duty. They don't have to do it. Today also same thing. If somebody is lying on the floor, how many people go and help him? Now today is in 21st century, it's a little bit difficult. If somebody is lying down and you go and try to help, the police come say, you killed him. So the people are scared. Even though you call police and say, I see some man lying down, bleeding. Could you come and help? Police will not allow that man to move anywhere. They say, wait there until we come. And even though that person comes, policeman comes and gives a story, they will tell him, until we find somebody, they are thinking, you are the one did it. So nowadays, people are thinking, how can we help like a good Samaritan? If you start doing something good, we get into trouble. But what the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. If you're telling the truth and you're doing the right thing, you do not have to worry or afraid of anything or any law. If you are doing the right thing, and even though they tell you you're guilty, this and that, you have to say, I am going to save this person's life no matter what. If I have to give my life, I'm going to save this person. That kind of thing only comes from God. If you are not godly, we cannot help anybody. If you are not having the love of God, we cannot love anybody. So Jesus Christ is giving an example. Even though this priest standing before God day and night, but that priest has no compassion, no love, no concern about life. What is he preaching? If the priest or a preacher preaching about helping somebody, giving their life for mankind, and when the time or situation comes, run away from the responsibility, then the judgment day will come. So now these two people walked away, and they did not help this poor man, but helpless man. He might be rich, and because of richness, he got into trouble. Somebody took his money away. But now he's helpless, and he's dying. And now see what happens. Let's read the verse 33.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Now see here, certain Samaritan man, as he journeyed, the person who was wounded, when he came here, he saw him. When he saw him, he had a compassion on him. Now see, this man was not his relative. He was not his friend. He was not even Samaritan. He might be Jewish man or maybe some other religion. Samaritan man didn't care. He simply saw one person lying there, helpless, maybe half dead, naked and wounded. This man needs help. So he said, he had compassion on him. Only we read about Jesus Christ, when he saw people, he had compassion on them. And then he healed them, he fed them, and he did good things for the people who had the need. So I believe this Samaritan man heard the preaching of Jesus Christ, how to be compassionate, how to love different people, because the Samaritan lady was saying, you are Jewish, we are Samaritan, we don't have any dealing, I cannot give you water, you cannot take this water, and she was arguing. This man simply said, hey, Jesus Christ taught us to have compassion. Doesn't matter he's a Samaritan, doesn't matter he's a Jewish, or he might be some other religion. The religion doesn't matter here. This is the life and death. This person is dying. I have to help this man. So this man should have compassion. The word of God says, when you go through trials and tribulation and sickness and disease and problems, then God comes and helps you. Then what you do the same thing to others. When God helped you, then you do the same to others. You encourage others. So I believe this Samaritan man may be beaten by somebody, maybe had so much problem, maybe people treated him bad. He said, I am not going to take revenge. I am going to help. Because today what happened? Some person say, oh, this person is not my color, or he doesn't speak my language. Why should I help him? Those people always give us trouble. That is not a Christianity. Very old lady, 95 years or so, she was walking and one person came and punched her and she fell down. And this man looked around, looked back, and she's already on the ground, but he never came to help. This is what happens. Why this is happening? All the bitterness, all the anger, all the frustration, and all the jealousy. All these things, the anger, even though they're walking on the street, they never saw that person in their life. but thinking about the color or language, or they are different than me, and they are anger for years and years, anger built in their heart, and they take revenge. What the Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. And he says, don't take revenge. Revenge is mine. We have so many enemies in this world. We cannot take revenge of everyone. What do? We pray for them and we give it in the hand of God. Lord, this person treated me so bad. This person is doing something wrong. I give it to you. I cannot take revenge. Revenge is mine, the word of God says. So here this Samaritan man, just think, he was treated bad. He had a bad experience. He might be thinking, I'm Samaritan, these people are Jewish, they don't treat us good. Now this Jewish man lying down, let me kick him, and he's half dead, let me kill him, and I go away, nobody's here to witness. I'm alone, and this man is alone. That's those people walked away, and nobody can tell them anything. Why are they coming after me? This is my enemy. Even though he didn't do anything, but he's Jewish and I'm a Samaritan, let me kill him. But he didn't do that. He said, the word of God says, he had compassion on that man, even though not knowing who this man is, and he is not going to get any benefit from him, but he had compassion. So the word of God is teaching us, we should not be bitter about any other religion, other language, other color. We have to have compassion. If you are Christian, the Christian life is the life of love. Our God is love. Once you love Jesus Christ, then we love anyone. John says in his letter, if you see your brother and you don't love him, how can you love God? You don't see him. So God has given us grace to help our brother. If our brother is in need, you help. If you have money, if you have clothes, extra clothes or whatever, and if your brother is struggling, he doesn't have to ask you, you have to give it to him. That is the Christian love. So here the word of God is saying, this man, Samaritan man, saw this man lying there, and he had compassion on him. Let's read the verse 34.
He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
Now see what happened. This man saw him, and he said he went to him. Maybe he was going other way, because he's walking, riding on the donkey. He's going other way, but he said, hey, let me go to him. Other people were walking close to him and they walked away from him. But he says he went to him. Purposely he went close to this man. And when he saw that man, he maybe had the linen clothes with him. He made the strip of all these cutting clothes and things like that, and washing his wounds with oil and with wine. Wine is some kind of alcohol. So alcohol kills the germs, and oil soothes the wounds. So he carrying alcohol with him, the wine with him, and he is carrying the oil with him. I don't know he was in oil business or alcohol business, wine business, we don't know. But he's caring for himself. So now he said, doesn't matter if I don't have wine for myself, if I finish all my oil, doesn't matter. I'm going to spend for this man. You remember that lady came when Jesus Christ was sitting, and she broke the alabaster of perfume and put it on his head, and the people start saying, why are you doing this? We should have given, you should have sold this oil, perfume, and we would have got some money. We would have given to the poor. And people thinking giving to poor is a good thing, but the Bible says that Judah was a thief. He thought, When they're giving to poor, some money will come to my pocket. So Jesus Christ says poor will be with us all the time until the end of our age. That means they will be poor all the time. We are trying to helping poor and homeless, and you bring them to home or give them a hotel. 3 days later, will they go back and go on the street? So there are some people, they like to be homeless. And there are some people, they don't want to stay in their mom's dad's house because there are so many rules and regulations. So I don't want to be there. And they going out, do all kinds of things like a prodigal son and became beggar. So it is very difficult to help every beggar and every poor in the world. You try to help. I'm not saying we should not be helping, but the Word of God says if you want to help, help the household of faith. The person who is born again, who lost a job, he has a children, or some person was a minister and somebody killed him. Go and help his wife and children. Try to give them help. Instead of going and helping drug addict, they take your money and do the drug. If you say, oh, I'm hungry, can I give you food? No, give me money. I would not give money. I said, okay, let's go to a hamburger place. I'll give you food. But they said, no, I don't want. I want money. Never give to those people money because they will use that money for drug or alcohol or something else. But the point I'm making, this Samaritan man having oil and good linen clothes, you have to have clean clothes to bind the wound. Otherwise, if you use the dirty clothes, the person will have more problem. So he might have good linen clothes or bed sheet or whatever. He cut it to pieces and he washed this wound with wine, pour some oil, and put the bandage and put him on his donkey and took him to the hotel or motel, wherever they can keep the people they say in. So he took him there. And not only that, he says what he did, he took him to inn and took care of him. What does it mean? He took him to the hotel or motel, and he, on the street, he put the bandaid on his wound and washed and clean and everything. After going to that hotel, maybe he gave him a bath. Maybe he tried to tell the hotel people, give some soup or make some good food or buy some good clothes for him and put it on him and keep him warm. We don't know if it was a summer day or winter day. We have no idea. But he took care of him. That's what it is. Taking care means this man himself is a businessman. He's going on a donkey. But he said, I don't care if I'm tired and weary, but this man is dying. Let me help him. So maybe a whole night he treated this man, giving food, giving shower, giving him warm clothes, trying to make sure that this man is sleeping comfortably. And everything happens, so the next day morning, he's going for his journey. Now this man, you can see how compassion he has. He is not only talking, but he's in the hotel trying to take care of this person like his servant, taking care of him. And then he's going next day. See what he's saying. Verse 35.
And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
Now see what he did. Whole night he took care of him. Now he gives the 2 denarii, or 2 pence means one penny or 1 denarii is the whole days of your wages. If they can work whole day, they get 1 penny or 1 pence or 1 denarii. So he gave 2 denarii, means 2 days work they can do. If they do work, then he said, listen, whoever it is in your hotel, I want one servant taking care of him. I will give him his wages, but I want him to take care of. So I'm giving these two denarii to whoever takes care of this man. The same time, you give him food, give him whatever he needs, and if you spend more than these two denarii or two pence, I will come back and refund you. You spend whatever it costs. He did not give him limit. You know what? You can spend up to $10 only. After $10, I'm not giving. He did not put any limit. He said, whatever you spent, I will repay you. That is called generous, good, godly man. There are very few people like this Samaritan man. That's why Jesus Christ gave his example. So now this man is saying, whatever you spent, I'll give it to you. And he gives 2 days worth money, and he might be thinking he might be coming after 2 days. Verse 36.
Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?
Now Jesus Christ is asking the question to this lawyer. Now you heard my story. Now you tell me, which is his neighbor? Is this his neighbor? Was the Jewish priest or the Levites or this Samaritan man? Now, because Jesus Christ did not ask him, you telling me which is my neighbor, I don't live in your neighborhood, I don't know who is in your neighbor, but you should have known how to be nice with your neighbor. Because the word of God says, treat your neighbor as yourself. Now you yourself told me, this is the way law says. People know the law. People know the Bible. But they do not practice the Bible. There are preachers who do not practice the Bible. Believers do not practice the Bible. And people can memorize the scriptures, but they do not follow the scriptures. In our neighborhood, all kinds of people live. So we cannot say, okay, this person looks like an Indian, so I'm going to help him and be friendly with this neighbor. The other person doesn't look like me, so I'm not going to have any contact with them. And so we can be prejudiced. But God gave us grace. We learn that if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we go to any neighborhood, we have to love them like Jesus Christ loved us. One side neighbor will come and say, hey, you are a minister. You are praying. Why don't you clean these leaves? I said, ma'am, I did it a few minutes ago. But the wind coming and doing it. Then you do it again. I said, well, I will do it. I'm praying. And when I finish, I'll do it again. Then this lady comes again and knocking at the door. I said, what can I do for you? She said, you know, Pastor Peter, I told you about leaves and this and that. I was angry at my mother-in-law. So I don't know what should I do. So I took her anger and put it on you. So I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to pray for your mother-in-law. And I prayed for her. Later on, she comes and she said, Pastor Peter, my sister is born again Christian. And when I told her about you, she was very happy. So the point I'm making, we did not fight with our neighbors, but we were good neighbors. And then the person who threw the sign out, that neighbor got a cancer and was dying in the hospital. And my wife was the nurse in the same ward where the man was, and she knew the story. So she went to him and she told him about Jesus Christ and said, you should give your heart to Jesus Christ. And he gave his heart to the Lord and he says, what we do without you? And then his wife, when her husband died, she didn't know driving. I took her all around doing for shopping and helping and things like that. And the lady also said, you know what? God brought you into our neighborhood. what I would have done without you. So the point I'm making, this is the only one neighborhood I'm talking, but any neighborhood we went, you go and talk to our neighbors and say, Pastor Peter and Ruth is in your neighborhood. Are they good people, are nasty people, are bad people? What kind of people are in your neighborhood? They will give good testimony. In the winter time, our neighbors, not one but two, they come and clean our snow, even the snow like a 2 feet, 3 feet, they will clean. When I give them $100 or something, they will throw it out on the floor, say, Pastor Peter, we don't need your money. We need your prayers. The point I'm making, we have to be good neighbors. We always say, oh, my neighbor is bad. He's bad. But if he's a bad, just like this Samaritan, he didn't know that man was bad or good. He said, I'm going to help him. So when we help the neighbors in the time of need, they will be good neighbors. The Word of God says, when you do good things and your wages pleases in the sight of God, he will make your enemy your friend. God is the one who is in control. God is watching over us. What kind of life we are living? Are we reflecting Jesus Christ to this world? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He said you should be light of the world. He said you should be salt of the world. Salt make things tasty. Salt make things preserved. So our life is to blessing to others. Our life should not be nasty or people say, oh, I don't want this neighbor in my neighborhood. They call the city hall or somebody and complain about you. We don't want that kind of life. We want life to pleasing to God. People are always thinking, if somebody making noise in America, they can call the police. Oh, these people making noise all the time. And the police will come and give them, you know, some kind of warning or something. And some people say, hey, I'm American. I'm living in my house. I can do anything. But there is a laws. You cannot blasting radio for 12 after midnight or something like that. Or you cannot bang somebody's door in the midnight. There are all kinds of rules and regulations. So we have to be a good Christians, good Samaritan. That's why this Billy Graham's son named Good Samaritan Purse. Samaritan Purse. He didn't say good, but Samaritan Purse. He knew that this is the story. He took it. If this Samaritan goes and helps somebody, dying person, we're going to do the same thing. Now, Samaritan man gave from his purse money to this hotel. So Billy Graham's son, he says, we have Samaritan purse. We take the money. We build your houses. We help you in a time of need. We build a hospital for you. And Samaritan person took the person to the hospital, but we will build a hospital for you. So Billy Graham's son doing much more than this Samaritan. Why? Billy Graham's son is a born again child of God. So he doesn't care what kind of people are there. He went to Europe and he wanted to do the preaching. They said, no, don't come to our town. He went to another city, don't come to our city. He went to another city, said, don't come to our city. He came back to America, and then they got a virus. When they got a virus, then they went back there and tried to help these people. Then they never say, why did you come to our city? And he showed the love, even though they didn't want him to preach. He went there and treated those people who had the virus and gave the booklets and gave the Bible scriptures and prayed for them. That's called Good Samaritan. So Jesus Christ gave this example. Some people read this story and just say, this is the story. This is not the story. This is the real person. This is the real Samaritan. This is the real lawyer. This is real Jesus. He's giving a story. This is not only to the lawyer to teach him something. This is the story teaching us how we should be good Samaritans. And I'm so grateful to Franklin Graham. He said, now I have Samaritan purse. You need something? I have the money. I will help you. Just call. And you have a problem, we will help you. And they're helping thousands and thousands of people, not only America, but every country in the world. Some people say, how they got this much money? When you start doing something good, some people will help you. You start some kind of charity with $100 in your bank, and people see what you're doing with your charity, with your love. Then other people will be pouring. They cannot say, I cannot go and build somebody's house, but I can give $100,000. There are some people, one person I heard, gave $4 billion to the Salvation Army, not one or two, billion. So there are people, billionaires. So if they cannot do the job, they see somebody doing like a Samaritan purse or like a Samaritan man, they will help you. But we are not doing something that somebody will see and help us. God sees our heart. When we start doing something good, God will do something great for us. Now we saw three lawyers, three different people came. One person comes and says, what is the great commandment? What is the first commandment? Tell me. Some person comes and says, oh, Jesus, oh, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Tell me, which commandment I do? Jesus knew all these hypocrites. They are not interested in going to heaven. They are just trying to trap Jesus Christ and make fun of him and let the world know that he doesn't know anything. People were calling him, you are demon-possessed. You are a crazy man. And so many people did so many things to him. But Jesus Christ kept on loving them, kept on helping them. And this is the one of the example Jesus Christ is giving. Let's see the last word, what Jesus Christ is saying. Now this man, 37.
And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Jesus Christ said, you didn't know who the neighbor was? Now I gave an example. Now who is this neighbor? Who is his neighbor? He said, oh, the man who helped him. Okay. Now you go and do the same thing. Up to now, you didn't help your neighbor. You didn't know who your neighbor was. But I told you now who the neighbor is. If any person has the need, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your church member, your family members, your countryman, whoever he is, if you have power to help, you help. Sometimes, as I said, sometimes God will inspire you to do something and you delay. I told you the other day, God told one minister, I met him, and he is a very good preacher. And he told me, you know what? God told me, this our neighbor is very sick and he needs something he cannot eat, he cannot drink in India. Bringing orange juice is very difficult thing. When we went to India and Priscilla was dehydrated, so we said, let's go and get some oranges. My father-in-law went miles and miles and miles looking for oranges, and when we got the oranges, we can hardly get any juice out of it. The point I'm making, when God told this minister, give that your neighbor some oranges. This man was having money and power and everything. He could have done it. If he didn't have the time, he could tell somebody, could you go? God told me to give this man, go and give the couple of pounds oranges to him. He would have done it. But he waited one more day. And next day he took the oranges and went to their house. They said that man already died yesterday. The point I'm making, whatever you want to do good things, Don't put it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. People say, oh, tomorrow comes. Let me tell you, if you write a sign, today you have to pay for your food, tomorrow food will be free. The person said, okay, I'll come tomorrow. And they say, hey, sir, you told me yesterday I'll give you food tomorrow free. Read the sign. Tomorrow will be free. He comes tomorrow. Read the sign. Tomorrow will be tomorrow. So the point I'm making, tomorrow will be always tomorrow. Whatever you want to do tomorrow, do it today. That's what the Bible says. The day of salvation is today, is now, is not tomorrow. So whatever you have to do, do it today, do it now. If you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, don't say, oh, I have enough time. I'm too young. I want to get married. I would have some children. I would get some business. I have to, you know, when I retired, I have nothing to do. Then I'll go to church. Or then I'll call upon God. You will never make it. Today is the day of salvation. Today is Jesus Christ's calling. Do you have compassion? Do you have love? Do you love the Lord? First of all, you have to love the Lord. When you love the Lord, when Jesus Christ comes in you, you get the nature of Christ. People say, oh, we have two natures. One is devil and one is God. No, two natures. If you have a sword, you cannot put the sword, two sword in a one, what do you call that, seat. So same way, you cannot keep God and devil in the same time in your heart. Jesus comes in, devil has to go out. You cannot say, oh, we have two natures. Sometimes I do good, sometimes do bad. That is not the Christian life. The Word of God says once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are born again. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means your nature becomes God's nature. You love like a God loves. You will have the nature of God. You will have the Spirit of God. You will have the Spirit of Christ. You will be a child of God. And you will love your neighbors. You will love your family. You will love the church members. You will love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, love is the greatest thing. Because our God is love. Okay, we are going to pray. But let me give you a chance. You never call upon Jesus Christ. You don't know who God is. Today Jesus Christ is calling. He says, oh, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you the rest. I will give you peace. I will give you eternal life. I will give you everything what you need. What we need, only Jesus Christ. Paul says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the one going to supply all our needs. That is in Philippians 4:19. The point I'm making, just call upon Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Give me grace to love my neighbors. I don't have that kind of love. But when you come into my heart, the love of God will be shed abroad in my heart. I will know how to love somebody. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and change my heart so I can love God and I can love my neighbor. Please help me. In Jesus' name I pray. And I call it done. If you pray this kind of prayer, I guarantee you, your life will be transformed. Your life will be the life of God, life of Christ. And we will be better than this Samaritan. I believe this Samaritan man heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why his life is transformed. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God. Let us be better than this Good Samaritan. Let us be like Christ. Let us follow Jesus Christ. Let us love the Lord from our heart. We learn today we have to love our God from our heart, our soul and spirit and strength and the power. We love the Lord from our heart. Jesus Christ is our Lord and is our Savior. He has given His life for us. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to You. Bless us and use us mightily. There are people dying without God and without Christ. So give us grace to reach out to the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray and we call it done. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.